You're listening to Cents Per Mile with your host, Charles Gracie, and his co-host, Paul Gibson. Joined by Josh Haynes, they'll be tackling tough industry topics, asking even tougher questions, all to find better solutions as they try to make sense make sense.
Thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson.
Hey, I'm Josh Haynes. What's going on, guys? What are we talking about today on this episode?
So I kind of was putting two and two together, and I came up with this crazy theory, like, you know, like I was Charlie Day with like a bunch of like push pins and a wall full of paper. We spent a lot of time clowning on the concept of a driver shortage, which I'm still, you know, I don't think that there is one, but I think we might be creating one.
No, tell me it's not so.
Well, I will tell you that it might be so, and we'll talk about it later. So how are you guys doing?
You know, I'm here, man. It's another beautiful day in Chattanooga. The weather's beautiful. How's it up by you?
It's pretty good. I mean, sans, you know, the awful travesty that happened at the parade, still kind of riding on that Super Bowl wave, but, you know, that was sad, and, you know, care out to the families. But other than that, it's snowing again, but it's supposed to be 60 by next week, so we're fine. Midwest weather. All right, so who's sponsoring our show today?
Your team over at CDL Life and my team at Hot Seat Services. You know, not only are we going to bring you access to today's top drivers, but we're going to help connect the dots for you.
Yep, it's all about relationships. All right, so now it's time for 10-2 news from CDL Life. So the first one is Washington State is trying to implement an idling law for any time a driver would idle for more than 5 minutes.
This is crazy, man. Being a former driver and, you know, being able to talk about this topic, it's already hard enough for these drivers on the road. And then you get the certain shippers with residential restrictions and stuff like that. But now to make a law that is just going to reduce the margins if you do idle, it's just insane.
Right. And so the other thing is in this, it defines diesel fueled auxiliary power system as any device that is permanently dedicated to the vehicle on which is installed and provides electrical, mechanical, or thermal energy to the primary diesel engine, truck cab, or sleeper berth. Bus passenger compartment or any other commercial vehicle cab as an alternative to idling in the primary diesel engine. So like they're going after essentially like APUs too, if they're not electronic.
Yeah. So it's bad. Like I said, it's bad enough in inclement weather, whether it's too hot or too cold, you have to sit in that box, and there's shippers and receivers where they don't have a dedicated space for a driver to wait. And now you're going to reduce their ability to be comfortable. Like this is inhumane.
Right. I mean, I actually made a video where I, you know, sat in a hot truck in the middle of the summer with the windows rolled up to, you know, to like protest this. You know, it might not get that hot up in Washington, but man, does it get cold sometimes.
Beyond us locking you in a closet for hours of service and then you sitting in a hot box for a demonstration or a protest. I mean, I'm wondering if we should evaluate how we treat you, but let's get on to the next article.
Yeah. Speaking of treatment. So a little bit more lighthearted. There was a guy, he's a famous TikToker who has a pet duck. It's his emotional support duck, right? Which is a little outlandish, but of all the places he went to Buc-ee's. And they told him he couldn't have his duck. So you can't park your truck. You can't have a duck. What the heck can you do at Buc-ee's?
You can't have a Pekin duck. You can't have drivers. But Buc-ee's is striking out right now.
Well, I mean, you know, people still love it. It still is, you know, as a four-wheeler, it's still a great place. It's a travel plaza, not a truck stop. But like,
they just don't want Pekin duck.
What is their mascot at Buc-ee's?
A beaver.
So if you would have walked in with an emotional beaver, they wouldn't have kicked him out.
Probably got a commercial spot.
I am curious about that. What happens? I, you know, maybe somebody should try that. Go to Buc-ee's and bring. How do you even get a hold of a beaver, though?
Well, I think this is your next experiment.
I don't need an emotional duck or a beaver because you guys are my emotional support group, which is just sad. I'm just saying. Anyways, we got to move on, gentlemen. It is time for our next segment, which is Behind the Wheel.
All right, so here at CDL Life, we have the largest audience of drivers in the world. And the cool part is, because of that, on the podcast, we can tap into that. And we can actually get real opinions from real drivers about real issues. What did we talk to them about this week, Josh?
So we asked our audience a question, which is a good one. It is it hard to find not a job, is it hard to find a good job in this market? So I'm going to kick it to Charles first, and then I'll let you put your two cents in, Paul. What are your thoughts on this, Charles? Is it hard to find a good job in this market today?
Being at Hot Seat Services, this is what we do for drivers and for carriers alike. And I'll tell you, if you're not a perfect driver in this market, perfect driving record, I mean, things that used to get you a job back in the day, like being a team, you were highly sought after. I just had a team that was DQ'd because they had three jobs in 2 years. Like, this is insanity. So it kind of goes to our topic earlier of, are we creating our own driver shortage, looking for unicorns that fart Skittles?
Giving away spoilers. But yeah, that is, I mean, ultimately, that was the answer that a lot of drivers gave. The majority of the comments, the vast, vast majority of the comments was, it's hard unless you're a top-tier driver with a great history. If you sum together all the comments, that's basically what it was. If you're not like grade A, like multiple years of the same job, perfect safety record, loads of experience, like, it's kind of hard to get a job right now because, you know, with capacity low, companies are being so picky.
But what's crazy is, like, if you or I want a raise, we go to our boss or our board and ask for a raise. And if we can justify it, we get it. For drivers, most often, they have to make that move. And now we're penalizing them for it. And it's not just the companies, it's the insurance companies. I'm starting to put the insurance companies at the top of my hit list with how they make it where it's restrictive for these companies to hire actual drivers. But I think we as an industry have gotten out of touch with what today's driver looks like.
Well, I mean, and that's even indicative of, you can go find like articles from Forbes and whatnot. That's actually become pretty common, even outside of the truck driving workforces. More and more people are jumping jobs because that's their only opportunity to get a raise in this kind of market. It's becoming more like, I think the average employment for somebody now, even outside of like outside of trucking, is 5 years.
Well, and I'm going to put myself in the mix on this. You know, I was in a job. I loved the people I worked with. I loved the company I worked with, but there was no movement for me at that point. I was already the director. There was no going any higher. So I had to leave that job to get a VP job. And I didn't penalize them for it. I didn't get penalized. It's where I'm at today because of this move. But why are we penalizing our drivers for trying to make a couple more cents? Like, if they're a habitual job hopper, I get it. But three jobs in 2 years, that's insane. For the average driver, you're talking like 4 to 5 jobs in 2 years. And now we're penalizing ones with three.
Well, I think that's a pretty interesting thought process to get into our main topic. All right, so it's time to make sense. This week is a little bit different. I have probably one of the hottest takes I've made in a long time. So we all have heard about the driver shortage for a long time. I've railed completely against it. It's fully understood that there is no driver shortage. There is just a lack of decent driving jobs.
And qualified drivers to today's standards.
Right. Well, that's where we're getting into. The difference is, you know, like, that wasn't as big of a deal, you know, a while ago, but capacity has been so far down that these companies are getting so picky. Now, you take that with the other elements of the previous claims of driver shortage, which weren't necessarily true at the time. Or the parts that were true, I guess. So you have an aging out driver pool, right? So a lot of your drivers are getting older. Younger generations aren't really showing interest into getting into the career. We've covered that before. You know, most of them go into the office because it pays just as much. Why would you get in a truck and have to be over the road? Now, the thing is the drivers that do exist, the ones who aren't top tier, the ones who aren't getting picked right now and getting shot down, they're going to have to find some sort of employment. And if they don't find better employment and capacity stays the way it is, you're going to lose those drivers. So when capacity picks back up and we've just cherry picked the top drivers and all of the average to decent drivers had to find employment elsewhere, that driver pool potentially could be dried up if this goes on too long. So we might actually have manufactured, through a lack of capacity and being picky, an actual driver shortage.
Well, I think it's important to note on that. It is self-inflicted. We've talked about it in season one, even. And you hear a lot of people that have voices in the industry talking about it. You have driver influencers talking about it. At the end of the day, there's a couple of culprits here. They've wanted this driver shortage narrative for so long because it benefited certain people that we have created it since it wasn't there. And people were looking foolish. The clearinghouse knocked out a lot of drivers, and you can have mixed feelings on how you feel about that, but it was designed to give them a reentry program, and it failed to do so due to insurance regulations. So you have a program that says, yes, you can reenter, but you have insurance companies that will never insure that driver. And then you have a program that says, hey, once you have a return to duty, which has to be done by a carrier, but no carrier can insure you to do so. So you have that whole disconnect. Then you have the aging out drivers, the ones that said, hey, enough's enough. COVID happened. They got out. And some of the older ones are just like, enough's enough. I'm just getting out of it altogether. Then the rates, then the hurt a little bit. And now you have this qualification bubble that's bursting where the pay isn't quite there for what people are looking for. Expectations is kind of what I'm trying to drive home here, is the expectations that we always say you need to give to the driver. Drivers have them too. They expect to make decent wages and they expect to have work-life balance nowadays. The market has changed. But you have companies out there offering low pay and, hey, you need to be out 3 to 4 weeks at a time. And those two just don't connect nowadays. And people need to come to terms with making the job more sexy again, but also having realistic expectations to the drivers that you're trying to attract.
Well, and here's the thing. So to say that we might be manufacturing a job or a driver shortage, I could argue, you could definitely argue that that's hyperbole. Absolutely. But I mean, you are depleting what you did have. I mean, those factors weren't a factor when they said it was a factor, but they're becoming one. And that is, you know, down the line. And this is speeding up that process. But realistically, you know, maybe you don't create one, but what I see interesting is that there for a long time, it was a driver market. You hear people all the time saying, oh, as a driver, the world is your oyster. If you have decent experience, you can go anywhere. And now it's like, you can get a job if you're good. So what I think is kind of interesting, the other way for that pendulum to swing that I see coming is it was a driver's market. Now it's a carrier's market. But when that lifts up, it's going to be a driver's market with a vengeance.
Well, yeah, but the carriers are going to be at a disadvantage. So from the recruiting side of things, what we're seeing is people actually raise their standards. And it's one thing to become pickier and say you're not a good fit. It's another thing when you're putting those standards on paper. Because you can always go up, but it's hard to dial it back without opening yourself up to liability in that gap. And that's what some carriers are doing right now. They're putting it on paper. So they're going to have to live by this, because if they lower it and something happens in that lowered area and a driver hits somebody or an accident, which is cost of doing business, happens, they're going to be open to higher liability risk at that point. So you're seeing some of these people are going to die by the very rules that they put in place in the point of the time where the pendulum was in their favor, but it's not always going to be in their favor. And I don't think that people are realizing that.
On the other side of that, though, you got to pay those drivers. You got to lift it up, because if you don't, and the second that market does start to open up, you're going to lose all of them to the first person that's willing to pay them. Either way, we got to get to a quick ad break, and then we'll bring on our first guest.
CDL Life is the nation's largest online community of CDL holders. With 2.8 million followers and 730 million annual touch points, we know how to meaningfully connect with drivers. CDL Connect is more than leads. We support various stages of the recruiting process, from marketing to lead generation and recruiting to strategy, with a suite of enablement tools and accessible intelligence to empower your recruiting team in building a workforce of talent you can trust. CDL Connect provides powerful tools that bridge the gap between drivers and recruiters. Unlike other vendors who focus on low-cost lead volume, we are dedicated to enhancing alignment and engagement between both parties, building real relationships that lead to higher conversion rates.
All right, so for our next segment, we got Carlo from Driver IQ joining us to share some of his insights and what he's seeing out there. How's it going, Carlo? Welcome to Cents Per Mile.
It's an honor to be here. Thanks guys for having me.
Hey, so you're always engaging with us on the show. You come from a different side of the business. You work with a lot of safety and recruiting departments. And so you kind of feed into the topic today about the qualifications, the reduced driver pool, and what you're seeing. Tell us a little bit about what you're seeing over there.
Frankly, a lot fewer drivers leaving their spots. And I think it is because with the qualifications being the way they are, they're inclined to maybe stay in a position that they're not as happy with or earn a little less than they possibly ought to, because they're concerned about, you know, getting over that qualifications hurdle. Yeah, it was really interesting hearing the panel's take on it this morning.
So tell us a little bit about what you guys do over at Driver IQ.
Sure. So at Driver IQ, we are a background screening organization. We partner with carriers. We are sort of uniquely positioned in that all we do is trucking, right? Hiring for trucking is much different than hiring for banks or hospitals or what have you. And, you know, the lingo is different. The process is different. The people who are doing the hiring and qualifying are different than in other industries. And so what we've done at Driver IQ is compile a group of industry experienced folks. I've got a background in the applicant tracking system space. We've got a lot of folks who have spent decades in screening, in transportation. We've got a lot of former frontline recruiters and safety folks working on our team. So that when, as we partner with carriers to try and get drivers through their qualification process and get butts in seats quicker and get folks in there that they know are, you know, matches for their hiring process and their hiring standards, we're able to do it more quickly, more efficiently, and with better accuracy, just because we eat, sleep, and breathe trucking.
So with you guys being on that background reporting, that you get to see a little bit about what we're talking about. I'm sure that you're seeing the carriers hire qualification standards that are being put in place. Who do you think is responsible for that? Is it the carriers? Is it insurance? Is it a combo issue?
I mean, I think it's my personal opinion. I'm with you, Charles. I think it's insurance companies driving that up. In general, whether it be, you know, trucking or even our own healthcare, I'm anti insurance companies, and I think they are largely a negative force in the space.
That is definitely going to be one of our hot take clips right there. But yeah, I think it's important, because if you look at the carrier standpoint, they have no choice. It's either you pay a higher premium that reduces their margins or you comply, and it's making this problem worse.
Absolutely. It's insurance company driven. The carrier is sort of beholden to, you know, the vice that insurance companies have on them.
Well, and I think the interesting thing too is you being in your situation, you can kind of speak to the clearinghouse being implemented a lot more than most people can. And also the situation with companies trying to take drivers who have been through the SAP program who were eliminated through the clearinghouse. Does, like, from your perspective, seeing a lot of that on paper and with reporting, are those drivers actually trickling in, or is it like it seems where most of those drivers actually aren't getting jobs even after going through the SAP program?
We worked really closely with the clearinghouse as they were developing and trying to give them good guidance, some, you know, boots on the ground guidance to make it work smoothly. And clearly it didn't come out the gate smoothly. And I think it's just a really great example of what you see with a lot of policy, which is good intentions gone awry. And I do think that you're spot on, you know, the drivers have to be sponsored by an organization, but the organizations can't take a chance on them because of the insurance companies. Right. And so while it's not unheard of, I think it's the exception and not the rule. And it's unfortunate.
Awesome. Well, some great takes. If someone wanted to reach out to you or work with you guys, how would they get a hold of you?
All over LinkedIn. You can find me at driveriq.com and shoot me a message through there, or message the show. And I know you guys know how to send people my way.
Appreciate you coming on Cents Per Mile, Carlo.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
We'll see you at Matt's.
Yeah, speaking of Matt's, we're going to be there, and we encourage everyone to join us in Louisville at Matt's March 21st to the 23rd. You're going to find a link to register. You should definitely hit that link, and if you're not planning on going to Matt's, now's a good time to reconsider, because it's full of great opportunities and networking.
Dude, it's probably like my favorite event of the year.
It's great. And what's going to make it better other than having us there again with Cents Per Mile and all the great content?
Yeah, man, we'll be running around looking at trucks. We'll be running around probably pulling some shenanigans on people. A lot of good interviews, a lot of good networking. I think that was probably my favorite part last year, was going around and putting people on the spot on camera. And then some of those trucks, dude, are just
And just the drivers that we talked to, and like, we had a great just experience overall, and being someone that's attended Matt's as a kid, as a driver, as a business, as a show, it's just, you know, it's great. So I highly recommend people click that link, join us at Matt's. It's going to be a great time.
Hey, I'm not as lucky as Charles to have gone multiple times. Last year was my first time going. But I got to say, the magic was still there for me. I was just a man child at that point, but it was still pretty magical. I do want to see if Paul can find Walmart again and see if they made that great value semi truck, because I think you gave him a great idea.
Yeah, I was like, hey, why don't you guys, I know you're a private fleet, but why don't you make a Sam's Choice truck and start leasing that out? I think that'd be great. What a bargain. But we did make a lot of friends, you know. Like, I mean, that was the first time that I met Gord, first time I met Lombard, first time I met Chris Thomas, and then Justin Martin came on the podcast. I had only seen him on the internet prior to that.
We had Christine Colley talking about roller dogs.
Yeah.
Kevin talked about not dropping babies. It was some great stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, definitely made some friends there that have ended up on the show. And that, you know, we still talk to this day. It's an amazing, the people you meet, the trucks you see, and it's like an experience that it's my favorite thing probably about this job, actually.
I have yet to meet the steps that I met that couple days that we were there. I think Charles most steps out of all of us, but yeah, my feet might still be a little sore from last year, so.
I will say, though, it's also educational. There's a lot of great speakers. Charles is going to be speaking. We might be doing a live episode from there other than harassing people. But you can learn a lot. And I would say the number one thing that I had no idea about that I learned last year was that the ATA mascot costume is literally filled with like 3 million mile drivers. They just don't let them talk, so you'd never find out.
So when you see them this year, go up to them with a job link application.
Oh, my God. So we are excited. March 21st through the 23rd. Use the link. We want to see you there at Matt's. If you see us there, come say hi. I would prefer you say hi to me first. Then you can say Paul, and then you can say Charles. Or you could just say hi to me the whole time. You know, that's fine. So we are excited. I know Paul's excited. I'm excited. Charles is always excited for Matt's. So, you know. What number year is this before we move on, Charles? How many years?
This will be my seventh.
Seventh year. All right. So, Paul, what are you at?
I think this will be like five for me.
All right. Well, this will be my second. So that's why you got to come talk to me first so I get more attention, because, you know.
Hot Seat Services has Rent-A-Recruiter.
Wait!
Hey, Michael, have you heard that Hot Seat Services Rent-A-Recruiter service will place their staff in your organization similar to a temporary hire model?
No way. What else does it do?
Follow me, I have to tell everyone. They take leads in existing databases to put new hires into your business's trucks.
Well, shiver me timbers! What else?
Come on! Their model's more cost efficient because their recruiters are trained and can get your pipeline flowing easier and faster.
No way, anything else?
No matter how many hires they make, it's a set cost per week, so the more they get, the better their client's cost per hire gets.
Holy sh!
For more information and to find out for yourself, go to hotseatservices.com.
All right, and now we're back, and we have Derek Milosevic with Fleetside Consulting. He has some hot takes that we want to discuss, and we wanted to bring him on the show. Thanks for coming on the Cents Per Mile, Derek.
Thank you, guys. It was nice being here, nice listening to the conversations. It's really interesting.
So, you know, tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
So, my job, as I would say, fleet management or driver coaching is what I like to call it, because from this side is where we, like the conversation you guys had earlier about picking and choosing, when those, let's say those drivers that you don't really know if they're going to be good or not, or if they've shown bad performance in the beginning. We don't, like, what I try to do is I try to explain to people that I work with, you don't cut them off right away. You don't put them in a pool of bad drivers. You try to work with them. I would call it, like, you know, just management, trying to see if you could improve their performance first through coaching, through daily calls, weekly calls. And, you know, you see out of, like, let's say 10 drivers, four of them are going to change the way they look towards the business, especially the young drivers who haven't, like, maybe they were like a year or two in the business. They don't understand exactly what it means to be like a professional driver some of the times. And then when you go through these conversations and you coach them how you can make more money just by being more accountable, being more on top of your game, you know. And then I try to focus on that part where the retention is not as big, because I take all the people that maybe wouldn't look good in somebody else's eyes and see, okay, can we work with these people? Can we see if we can get them to the next level? And I incorporated that into the fleet on top of equipment and everything. I added that aspect, which showed results in multiple situations and scenarios.
Well, I think that's important. I mean, that's just management 101. You have to be willing to coach your people and watch them grow and give them tools to grow. If you're not doing that, you're failing as a person and in management nonetheless. But, you know, we had some interesting conversations about, like, hey, you know, the driver pool right now, has it changed, where it's at, what people's expectations are of it? You know, tell us your take on that.
Okay, so for me, my take would be, I feel like the bigger carriers are having a harder time filling up their trucks with those qualified things. Like you guys said, insurance has these clearing and these stipulations to get the driver. The smaller carriers, for me, I don't know, maybe this is a hot take, maybe you guys don't agree. I feel like the smaller carriers have a bigger advantage because they don't have to fill up 200 trucks that are on payments. They don't have trucks sitting that they have to fill up. They can pick and choose and make sure they grow their fleet accordingly. You know, that's my take.
All carriers are looking for that specific driver. Like, you have the drivers that you're looking for if you're a smaller carrier. And yeah, if you hire the wrong driver at a smaller carrier, it could have a greater impact at a smaller scale. But that impact is still felt at the larger carrier side. So they're still being picky and choosy too. Actually, I think right now being a small carrier is probably very competitive for a driver because the big carriers are near capacity. So they're looking for the same unicorns you are.
It could be. Like I said, from what I've been seeing is you have trucking companies that are they don't in this market, they don't want their trucks to sit. So just recruiting the drivers and getting them there is a big cost for those trucks that are sitting. And sometimes they might lower their standards to just fill up the trucks as soon as possible and get them back on the road. Because I'm not talking about owner operators. Maybe that's where it's like a little disconnect. But if you have trucks on payment sitting, you want the trucks to be rolling. That's my vision, I guess. That's what I've been seeing. But the smaller carriers are more like, you know, it's people that they've been working with for 6-7 years. Those are the drivers that are coming over to them. The contacts that they've been creating, they'll work with them because they have 10, 12 trucks. They don't care. They don't care if you have like the customers that work with the small carriers, they're there because of that relationship, you know? So they're not worried about losing. They're going to drive the same rates, maybe better because they have a better relationship. So they're not worried about getting the trucks on the road as soon as possible. They want to grow, let's say, I don't know, within their standards of what they want, you know, starting as a new company. Whereas in the big companies where I ended up realizing that, you know, out of 100 hires, 40 of them, you have to go over and reevaluate while they're in your company. And like I said, that's the biggest thing that I like to take the people that are already there. Instead of cutting them off, let's work with them. Let's see. Like, I had this one driver, he was negative payments. He couldn't get on top of his game. And I just started calling him like 2-3 times a week. I used to call him before his statement comes in. And I just be like, hey, let's go over your expense. Let's see what we can do to maximize your potential and maximize your profit. Now, fast forward 4 months, he paid off all his debts. He's driving on, you know, he became just a better driver just through that coaching and through that one-on-one conversation that I had with him. And, you know, it's not just one. It happened all across the board on multiple drivers.
And I think that's important, you know, appreciate your people. Appreciate your people, put your time in your people, coach your people. Their success is your success when your business is working within businesses like that. And that's what driving, especially owner operators are. So Derek, I appreciate you sharing some of your insights and coming on the show. If someone wanted to find you, how would they do so?
I mean, I hold my own social media channel at The Warriors Blueprint on Instagram, on YouTube, and on Twitter, The Warriors Blueprint. That's a personal one where I go through the whole mindset of being like a better manager and all that stuff. And then you can catch me at my email at Derek@kproinc.net. that's pretty much it. I do more social media and personal content now. So
thanks for coming on the show, Derek.
Thank you guys for having me on.
All right, gentlemen, I think it's about time to wrap it up. I'm over here looking at rental prices for Beavers because I'm going to go check Bucky's out after this. But I do think it is time to get out of here. You want to send us on our way, Charles?
Well, hey, until next week, thank you for tuning in to Cents Per Mile. I'm your host, Charles Gracie.
And I'm your co-host, Paul Gibson. See you next time.